Good morning, Geneva. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Sorry. And this morning, Japanese service, when I start preaching, three young boys came into the service. It looks like a college boys. Never seen before. And they came in and sit around there, and they were listening to my sermon. And after finish the service, agreed to them, and they said, I'm a friend to be your son. My second son in Tokyo, they are friends of my second son, and they came to Hiroshima for a trip, and they attend the service. Why you attend service? He said, I'm watching your sermon through internet. Yeah, I took the picture and sent my son, and never respond. Maybe my son was so surprised. You know. Why my friends went to our church? That's great. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And yesterday we had a great wedding ceremony. As Grace said, the pack, you know, this room is packed with people, packed with the celebration, joy, you know. Because wedding is the plan when God created the world. He created the human beings, man and wife. You know, he created the person, not just the person, but the couple. So wedding is the start of God's creation. So the people get married, God will start something, you know. So I was so blessed, and the people were full of joy. That's a great time. Today I'd like to continue my series of Romans. Some might remember, I preached from Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Let me read verse 1 to 6, because these six verses are in one sentence. No period in the six verses. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. This is one sentence. Paul is a genius. He's full of ideas and theologies and philosophies, you know. And maybe he did not write down. He says, and somebody is writing. So maybe the writers had a hard time. Paul says, you know, blah, 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 blah. Oh, please, slow, stop. You know, give him same state again. And this is the treasure. You know, truth. Last time I preached from verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called be an apostle and set apart from the gospel of God. He's a servant, an apostle, and he is set apart. So that was the point. And today I'd like to preach from verse 2 to 4. Let me read it again. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. So what is gospel? Paul said, the Son. The Son. That's it. The Son. He is the gospel. When we think about gospel, maybe we think, you know, what Jesus did, like the cross or redemption or resurrection. Know what he had done, or what about his life and what he said. But Paul said, no, no, no. Jesus himself, the Son, is the gospel. The existence of, you know, the coming from heaven to earth. The Son is the gospel. But God did not send his Son suddenly or without any notice. He noticed that. He prepared for the coming of his son, or descending his son, through the prophets. Why? God can send his son. God couldn't send his son suddenly, you know, without any notice. But if Jesus came without prophets, without any notice, maybe they were surprised, you know, what a strong or supernatural man. But they could not understand who he was. And also, after Jesus went up to heaven, so the disciples think about what Jesus was, you know, what Jesus, the meaning of his cross or resurrection. So Jesus was here a very short time. You know, of course, he spent maybe 30-some years, but he spent with disciples a year or up to 3 years. You know, somebody says maybe 3 years, but there's no record. Yeah, maybe it's 3 years. That's a tradition of church, and we say 3.5 years, but nobody knows. Yeah. If you read the Gospel of Mark, maybe you can tell Jesus was here just a year. Yeah. But if you read the Gospel of John, there are 3 times the mention of the Passover. That's why the church said maybe Jesus was here 3 years, but we don't know. The writer of John loves Passover. So he says the Passover, Passover, Passover. I don't know. But it's not a main point. The important is Jesus is here, and he said something, he did something, he was on the cross, and he raised again and went to heaven. You know, it was a very short time, and this did many things. After Jesus went back to heaven, the disciples start thinking, wow, what happening? You know, why Jesus was here, and why he was dead on the cross, why he was resurrected? And they used the scriptures. They start using the scriptures. Oh, from this scripture said the Messiah will do this, will do that, why Jesus is here. You know, so the prophets, that is not the prophet. The whole scripture of the Old Testament testify what the Son is, you know, what Son, the meaning of what he does. So God knows our human beings are not clever enough. So they God gave us the text, you know, textbook. See, read the Old Testament. You can understand what the Messiah means, what the Son of God means, why he has to be crucified, why he has to be raised. So that is the preparation. And the Son came. And Paul said three important points of the Son. One is his humanity. His humanity. Two, his divinity. Three, his loyalty. Good points. Three good point sermon. Humanity, divinity, and loyalty. Verse 2 said, verse 3 says, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David. He was born and he as descendant of David. To say David was the king is like a star of the Jews and also the king. So the descendant of David means Jesus was the true human, and also he became as the descendant of king, and he's supposed to be king. But the most important thing is he was born. He was a descendant of David. He was true human. Why? Why he has to be a true human? Because he died. Yeah, he died on the cross. He was nailed on the cross, but if he were not the true human being, he did not die. Yeah. If he was an angel, even he was nailed, maybe he can go up from the cross and see, you know, oh, I got hurt, but that's done. But Jesus was dead. The disciples of Jesus and others, especially the women, they saw Jesus was dead. Have you ever been to the tomb church in Jerusalem? There was a rock bed in the church, and they say, on this rock, Jesus was prepared for put in the tomb. Yeah, it's a square rock bed. Yeah. And the people come from the whole world, they put the handkerchief and put the rock. Yeah. It's not true. It is true. You know, they love that, you know. Maybe true, but I don't know. But maybe, I don't think it's not true. Because Jesus' tomb was 3 meters down from the church. So if they were used that kind of bed, the bed's supposed to be 3 meters down from the ground level. But they love, you know, something, remember the Jesus. But it's not a matter where Jesus was prepared for putting the tomb, but he was dead. Why? Why? Jesus was dead to become the perfect sacrifice. He has to be killed. He has to be dead to be the sacrifice for each of us, right? Yeah. He died for us, for you, for every single one of us. Amen. Amen. He has to be a true human being. He needs the humanity. He has the same body of us, same life of us, to be killed, to be dead on behalf of us. Amen. Amen. That's why he became a human. And also, another aspect of why he became the human being is to have experience what we have and show the perfect example of human beings. So that's a very short time, but the records of Jesus, what he said and what he did, was the great example for us, right? So how we love neighbor, how we concern the neighbors, how to speak, how to think, how to walk. Just a couple years, 1 or 3 years, he showed the perfect example of human beings. Is there any kind of person in this world, just 1 or 2 or 3 years, to show the perfect example of human beings? No. Why he could do that? Because he's the Son of God. Yeah. 4 Gospels. How many pages? I don't know. In NIV, I don't know. Less than 100 pages? But this just 100, I don't know, from 10, 15 to 10, 38, 120 some pages. Just this thick of pages shows us the perfect example of human beings. Is that a miracle? No. And scholars, Bible readers, and every Christian's reading every day, over 20,000 years, still we can have a new ideas, new finding, right? Yeah? Over 2,000 years, many scholars reading, and still new dissertation, new books from this gospel. 100-some pages. Is that a miracle? Yeah. Just this thick of the paper shows the perfect example, and we can find new ideas, you know, new think about the love, and that's just great. And also the point two is this: Jesus' divinity, and you know, humanity, one and divinity. Excuse me, I lost the paper. Oh, yeah. Verse 4, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus was a true human, but he was a true God. But nobody knows, you know, how could we say he was a God if he did not resurrect, if he did not raise from the dead. Since he was dead perfectly and he was resurrected perfectly, that's why we said he's the God. He's the only one who came from the dead. The act of resurrection and ascension declares who Jesus is. Jesus, of course, Jesus was God, but he—it's—it's—it's it's the the most hard, the difficult part to explain in theology. Perfect human and perfect God. And nobody gives us the perfect explanation. But we can say he's a perfect human and he's a perfect God. 100%. But he, since he was God and he is God, and he, of course, he created this world, he make us live, and he did everything for us, and still he ruled the world, but he became human being. And now he went back to heaven, and he's as the God, he is praying for us, and he's the head of this church, and he rules us, and he gives us his power and wisdom and love every day. And also, the point is, number three, is loyalty. Loyalty is the, shows, Paul says, the end of verse 4, Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul declares that Jesus Christ, because Jesus is Messiah and our Lord. Our Lord. Verse 1 said, I'm slave of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm servant of Jesus Christ. And he is the Lord. What the meaning of that? What, he's the Lord. He's just like a pharaoh, you know, he drives us crazy? No. He's the humblest, the most humble person in the world, and he was loyal to us, right? That's the start point. He, not from our start, but he was loyal. Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 9, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of servant, he became our servant first. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He shows his loyalty to us. He became our slave. He became our sacrifice. He's been loyal to us. That's why we shows our loyalty to Jesus Christ, right? We sometimes forget Jesus Christ, you know, we sometimes too much attention to our worldly things. We sometimes forget reading the Bible or sometimes forget prayer. But Jesus never forget us. He promised that, right, when he left. I'm with you until the end of the world. I'm with you always. He's been loyal to us. He will loyal to us. That's why we show our loyalty to Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. Jesus himself. True human, true God, and is loyal to us. This is the gospel. This is Paul wants us, everybody, to know, everybody accept it. Not just knowledge. Jesus is not just a knowledge. He's a living God. And when, if we accept, if we confess our faith, if we accept Him as our Messiah, our Savior, and our Lord, He'll never forsake us. Of course, we sometimes go through hard time. Of course, we feel sometimes it's trial. You know, why God, why I have to experience like this? But remember, the Son is here, right beside you. And He is your best partner. He concerns you. He loves you. He threw out His love to save us, to give us the eternal life. Do not throw out your hope. Jesus is with you, with your family, with your friend. And Jesus gives us the answer. So this is the gospel, not what Jesus did, but who Jesus is. That is the gospel. And this gospel is for everybody. Amen. For everybody. Everybody needs the Son, right? Everybody needs the Son. And He became the human beings. He was dead and He was resurrected, ascended, and now He is with us. Amen. That is the gospel. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank You so much. Thank You so much. You are not just God watching over and let us do what we want to do. You sent Your Son to save us, to show Your love, to encourage us, and to show Your idea and Your plan through a living God. We saw Him. We experienced Him. We touched Him. We talked to Him. And now we believe in Him. Although we cannot spoke to Him, we cannot speak to Him, we cannot touch Him now, but we know through our spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, spiritual fingers, Jesus is here in our heart all the time. And You know us and You love us. Lord, thank You for this gospel. Thank You for the Son. Thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.